Reading is taken from Exodus 19, 1-9. In the third month after Israelites left Israel, on the very day they came to Desert Sinai, after they set out from Rephaim, they entered Desert Sinai and Israel. They camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Israel, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully, and keep your covenant, then out of all nations you will be my possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak.
The second reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 43. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still walking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and they were still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Right, my first question is this. Now, I know that everybody here is from a different background, and every single one of us is very different, which is really good. But the first question I've got for you, the first question I've got is, what is your most treasured possession? Now, this might be a hard question because some have much, others have very little. But most people have got something or someone that they really treasure the most. You don't have to tell anyone else, but if we just think about what your most treasured possession is. And today we're looking at just how much God treasures us. We are God's most treasured possession. So where did that first start? How did that all happen? Well, it started at the very beginning when God created us. He saw that his creation was good. And he treasured us from the very, very beginning. But today we're looking a bit further forward. In fact, 3 months after God's people left Egypt, and God had brought them to the region of Sinai. And it was there he gave Moses a message for the people. The message had 3 parts. And it's all in verse 4 in Exodus chapter 19. "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I brought you to myself and carried you on eagle's wings." Now, the very first part of the message is, I delivered you from the Egyptians. He'd actually released them from slavery in Egypt. They'd been exiled there, and they were there in slavery, most of them making bricks. And eventually, he actually eventually managed to persuade the Pharaoh to let them go. And the first part of this message, that is the first part of the message. I delivered you from the Egyptians. Only God could have freed Israel from the bondage. Only God can release us from our bondage. You might say, what bondage? Well, it's the bondage of sin. And God said to Moses, I delivered you from the Egyptians. Then he gives the people the second part of the message. I carried you on eagle's wings. Now, you might find that a bit of a strange thing to say. But it's thought that some eagles have the ability to carry their young on their backs to protect them, rather than hold them in their talons. And there are, I've seen actually things, is it David Attenborough, where when they teach their little ones to fly, if they got themselves in a mess and start to plummet down, the eagle swoops down underneath and catches them, the mother does. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying to Moses. He was swift to rescue his people, and then he was protecting them. He carried the Israelites gently and safely, and he provided for them and gave them the power to defeat their enemies. God had said, I delivered you from the Egyptians. And then he said, I carried you on eagle's wings. I do like that idea. And in part three of his message, God says, I brought you to myself. God was stating that he was a personal God and desired intimacy with his people. God not only wanted them to be delivered, he wanted them to be with him. But sadly, they couldn't be with God. They couldn't be good enough, and they couldn't do enough, but God made a way. And so how did that happen? Well, for us, it happened through Jesus. So let's consider some things that have happened about God's kingdom. Today in our text, we heard how the Lord speaks to the children of Israel and how he continues to speak to us to remind us as believers that we are his treasured possessions. Every believer, and that's every single one of us that believe, is a unique individual to the Lord. Now, it's true that at times we might forget that. Sometimes we might forget that we belong to the Lord. Yet in our entire life and even in our death, which brings us into eternal life, we are the Lord's. Paul reminds us in the book of Romans, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And that's from Romans chapter 14, verse 8. And so that is our thought and theme for today. We're going to look at that important message that we belong to the Lord. So how did that happen? It happened through Jesus and continues to happen through the Holy Spirit. So if we look at our second reading, we read how it was an almost impossible situation that the 11 remaining disciples faced as they met in private to discuss the plan for their next move. They must have felt pretty bad about what had happened. Their teacher and everything and their friend had been crucified. And now they were alone and they were frightened. They were frightened and confused. Their initial response to reports and the evidence of the resurrection was probably disbelief for many of them. And now they were hiding behind locked doors, grieving in the safety of their own quarters. Life seemed to have closed in on them, and it now seemed impossible for them to continue the ministry that they had when Jesus was with them. Understandably, their faith had been tried and tested, and when all was said and done, most of them had run for the hills. They were in hiding in a locked room. One had even denied ever knowing him. So talk about defeated. And that's quite understandable, really, for what they knew at the time. And we hear this morning that they were still in disbelief. And before Jesus returned to his rightful place in heaven, there were final things he wanted to do for his disciples. And he still offers to do those things for all of us, his followers, today. So back to the room of despair. And then into this scene walks the very last person that they expected to see, Jesus. In fact, his presence so startled them that his first words to them were, "Peace be with you." Their leader, who they thought was gone, now stood before them. And his presence brought peace, forgiveness for the past, joy for the present, and hope for the future. I could just imagine the confusion and everything that was going through their heads as he walked through, as he came into the locked room. Must have thought, what is going on? And at that moment, the first thing he did was to say to them, "Peace be with you." Today, people everywhere search for those things that bring peace. Some search through it through artificial means, like drugs and alcohol. Some through temporary or some kind of temporary fix. But sooner or later, usually sooner, each of those prove inadequate and spiritually bankrupt. When this happens, the seeker is left even more troubled and less peaceful than before. So where can true peace be found? It can be found in Jesus. And if we look in our second reading in verse 36, we find that it says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace be with you, peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit." I should imagine that would be the first thing you would think of. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled?" Just imagine, why are you bothered that I've just walked through a door? I've just walked into a room when you knew that I was dead. You think, why are you asking me why I'm troubled? "And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" he said. "Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you got any food?" Of course, that's the first thing you ask, isn't it? "Have you got any food here?" So they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Now, I'm not sure that ghosts often eat. I'm sure they don't. So I think that probably killed that idea off that he was a ghost. And Jesus' first word to this group of bewildered and fearful disciples were, "Peace be with you." In the original Greek, It is simply two words, meaning a sense of inner rest, well-being and harmony. So that peace be with you, peace to you, is a huge, huge statement. And then when you said, why are you troubled? Well, I think that's probably an understatement, that they were troubled. And the word troubled literally, in the Greek version, literally means to be stirred up. Why are you stirred up? Because they were so stirred up and afraid, Jesus did two things to reassure his disciples that it was indeed him and it wasn't a ghost. He asked for food. I'm sure their reaction was natural. They must have had a mix of emotions, fear, disbelief, confused. Just how do you process what's going on when it's all happening? Like many other things that happened, when we read it today, most of us have probably already heard the story at some point. It's easy to gloss over it and think, oh yeah, well, he just went into the room. But just imagine ourselves in their situation. They hadn't got a clue what was going on. They didn't know that Jesus was going to appear. For them, I'm sure it was scary and confusing stuff. And in first, he allowed them to touch him. He wanted them to understand that he was not a mere apparition. Secondly, he asked for and received something to eat. Everyone knows that ghosts can't eat, right? They just went along with his request, rather than thinking about how and why. The disciples eventually accepted that it was Jesus and had the chance to put all their doubts and fears to one side, to focus on Jesus. A bit like that hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look fully into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow slow, strangely dim. And so how about us today? Will we allow him to turn our panic into peace? Do we stop and look him fully in the face? Do we keep our eyes on him? Jesus lived on earth and died for our sins. He created a bridge for us to have a relationship with God. And like the eagles, and no matter what it takes, God will teach us to fly. And he will keep us safe. When we disobey God's commandments, God knows that we will fall. But he is there for us. And that's what God is saying to us today. If we will only listen and trust and obey him, everything will fall into place. Everything in our lives will be right, the way that God wants them to be and the way that they should be. That doesn't mean that things won't go wrong at some point in our life. I think many things do go wrong for most people. But God is there to catch us when we fall. God is there for us to turn to. God has the ability to give us that peace, that moment when we can just be with him and be at peace through whatever situation. And so God still offers this leadership and freedom from sin today. God's offer still stands today. God knows what's best for us, and God wants to bear us on eagle's wings. So it's okay if we fall. We need to stop the panic and fear and turn our eyes on Jesus and to experience his peace. The Lord wants us to be free from unnecessary worries because we have a living, arisen Lord who takes care of every situation for us. He goes before us and opens a way. Even after Christ had risen from the dead, the disciples still had needless fears. instead of being filled with courage and boldness as a result of the resurrection of Christ, they were filled with fear over everything. Even in our lives, the Lord wants us to be free from all fears in our lives, because we have a risen Lord who is there to deliver us from all fears. Even after Christ has risen from the dead, the disciples had needless doubt and fear, as I said before, and that was quite natural. And it's natural that very often we do too. They were so reluctant to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Instead of being strong in faith and free from doubt, they were filled with apprehension and suspicion. And so Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief and doubt. Understandably, they did not believe the predictions of Jesus or the prophecies of the scriptures. That's mostly because they didn't really understand what was going on. It was something that had never happened before and will never happen again. Even in our lives, the Lord wants us to be filled with faith and trust in his presence, his promises. The scriptures are given to us to build our faith so that we can face every situation with faith and confidence. And as I said before, after Christ had risen from the dead, the disciples had needless sorrow. Instead of celebrating with joy and gladness the victory of Jesus over death, they were in mourning and sorrow. Even in our lives, the Lord wants us to be free from needless sorrow. We should be filled with joy of the Lord because we have a risen Lord who fills us with joy and peace. Even after Christ had risen from the dead, the disciples had needless discouragement. Even after Jesus had appeared to them and breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit and had done many miraculous signs in their presence, the disciples got discouraged and went back fishing. And the same thing happens to us today. Even though we know these things, we can still become discouraged. We need to turn our eyes to him and spend time with him. Jesus had to appear to them again and restore them back to the ministry for which he had chosen them. Even in our lives, many times, even after we have had many wonderful experiences with the Lord and experienced his goodness and power, we get discouraged and deviate from the purpose of God in our lives. But the Lord wants us to restore us back to a life with God at the centre. The disciples had each of these experiences, and we today go through the same emotions and experience of fear for the future, sorrow, and doubt. But the Holy Spirit still breathes peace into our lives. We now have the Holy Spirit. And so we need to keep our eyes on him and try to trust. So many years ago, God delivered his people from Egypt with Moses as his go-between. The people needed to trust. Moses then met with God on the Mount Sinai. The people were given the opportunity then onwards to discover more of God and God's direction for them. The people needed to listen and accept God's instructions and obey. We hear how God told them that he treasured them. Many years later, but still a while ago, God has delivered each of us, his people, from sin. He did it through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And so that means that we now have the opportunity to discover more of God and God's direction for us through the Holy Spirit as the bridge between us and God. We now, through the Holy Spirit, have the opportunity to discover that God treasures us. He gave his only Son for us to save us. He constantly can reassure and put us right. And so, like the people at the foot of Mount Sinai, we need to take time to listen to God's instruction and to obey. We need to spend time in his presence to learn more of his love for us, putting aside those doubts and fears as we keep our focus on him. Now, in the next week or so, there's going to be some prayer stations, I believe, at Holy Trinity. And it's an opportunity for you to come and spend some time there using those and exploring more ideas about prayer. And I think we're going to do that on prayer tomorrow, isn't it? And it's a good opportunity to spend some time and just to be alone and just in quiet and be at peace and to leave the busy life outside. God wants us to live a life filled with joy and hope and peace with God at the centre of our lives. So as we turn our eyes on him, and we need to keep our eyes on him, we will now have a reflection. And whilst that's happening, please feel free to remain seated.